Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome everybody to the first episode of The Constitutionalist. I'm your host, Jeremy Johnson, and I am here with the other host, and he goes by the name of Travis Bull Johnson. He is the chair for the Minnesota Constitutional Republic Party, and me and him decided that, hey, we should do a Blog Talk Radio show since we have this platform to start educating the public of what their rights are and watch and see what your politicians are doing that may be violating the constitutional rights. So, Travis, welcome to the first episode of The Constitutionalist. I'm happy to be here with you, brother.
Bob, it's my pleasure, man. It's great to be able to come out here and kind of the share the word of the Constitution with the people, because I think we can't really count on our public school systems to educate people on their rights and the Constitution and so forth anymore.
Right. So that we just come up with this idea that let's start a series that goes through the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, and everything that we know of the law of the land. This is the longest legal document in the history of the world, the Constitution is. It was created in 1787, I believe, is when it was created and written out. 1788, it was ratified, and 1799 is when it went into effect. 1791 is when they, on December 15th, on 1791, is when changes were made to the Constitution. And basically what that is, what that means is they wanted to make sure that they were protecting specific freedoms and rights, guarantee specific freedoms and rights. So together they're called the Bill of Rights, what now today we know as the Constitution, First through Tenth Amendment. But we're going to get into that a little bit here. We're not going to go through all of them tonight, but we're going to get into a little explanation of it. And Travis has got some really good information that we were just talking pre-show about. And originally it was going to be 12 amendments, but the first two kind of got cut out, and then Travis informed me that the second one was actually approved to be number amendment, the 27th amendment that we know now today. So, Travis, why don't you go into the fact that we had, they were originally going to have 12, that 12 amendments were brought up, and only 10 were approved immediately. So go ahead, Travis. I'll mute my phone.
Hey, yeah, so originally when I was doing my research for the show, because it's always a good idea for me to familiarize myself, remind myself of some things I may have forgotten, because, I'm getting old. But I had not realized that originally there was 12 initial amendments, not 10. And the first and second ones actually did not make the cut, where the numbers 3 through 12 became what we know as today as the first. Now, the second amendment, or the second proposal, actually was later passed as the 27th Amendment, which basically stated that any changes to Congress's pay would not take effect until the following Congress. And otherwise, they couldn't give themselves a pay raise in the middle of a congressional year. They had to run for re-election before it would become effective. But what I really found interesting is the first amendment that they, or first proposal they had, was actually would actually have limited the number of people that a congressperson could serve. The original proposal was for no congressman to represent more than 40,000 people until they got to 100 members of the House, or until they got to 200 members of the House. Then it would be restructured to 1,000 people that they were allowed to represent. To give you an idea, right now we're more along the lines of one for every 800,000 Americans. That's rounding up a little bit, because 700 and some change. But I can't help but wonder if that proposal had passed, and we did have a lot closer working relationships with our representatives, if we'd be in the mess we're in today.
And you bring up a valid point, Travis, because this you see the mess that we're in today, and you see how divided we are. You see it's Democrat versus Republican, this versus that, and that it's gotten out of hand, and we all know that. But the Constitution, that particular amendment, the fact that it didn't pass, and like you just said, what if that would have? Where do you think we would be now today if we would have more elected representatives to represent the people rather than the corporations and everybody else, the lobbying groups? Where do you think we would be at, Bull? Oh, did I lose Bull? No, I must have lost him there for a second.
Yeah,
oh, there you go.
Can you hear me? Yeah, yep. I'm not sure where we would be for sure, but I do know they need a hell of a lot bigger building. I mean,
yeah.
To give you an idea, that would mean, just here in Minnesota, I believe we have about 7 million people. Even if it was capped out at one per every 50, that would be over 120 representatives just from Minnesota.
Yeah, you're talking over 4,000 representatives nationwide, probably
yep.
even more than that. So
I mean, and
you can see right now. Go ahead.
And I think if you had that many people, we probably would not have our two-party system the way it is now. And I think there would be more room for minor parties to slip in a couple seats here and a couple seats there, because they could very
yeah,
they could be more issue-focused. If you're only representing 50,000 people.
I think our founding fathers, our forefathers, really, really thought well, were very thoughtful about our guaranteed freedoms and rights. I really, when you look at the Constitution, like, they've foreseen a lot of things. And that particular amendment would have really been great for this country. I don't think they were looking far enough ahead on that issue. But how do you predict the future? You look at us now over 250 years later, and you have, 600 complete between Senate and Congress that are representing 340 million people, and you see
right.
the fighting, the infighting. Yeah, it's ridiculous. But so that brings us to the First Amendment. What we now know as the Bill of Rights is the first 10 amendments. And the First Amendment is, this is what it guarantees. And by the way, everybody, let me just let you know, if you're listening in and you want to join this conversation, you have an opinion or thought, you're more than welcome. We'll take live callers. And that guest call-in number is 516-387-1733. And just press the number 1 once you start hearing us over your phone. Just press the number 1, and that'll let me know that you want to get on and you have something to say and add to the conversation. But we're gonna spend some time now on the First Amendment, and we'll go through all of these, and then not all tonight, but I want to have a discussion, an in-depth discussion about what each amendment means. What does that guarantee you? What kind of rights does that guarantee you? I think that's important for people to understand. And the reason, because when I first got into like trucking advocacy and doing peaceful protests, I was scared to death because I didn't really know what my rights were. I didn't know if I was going to get arrested. I was intimidated, you know. But once you realize that you were afforded a certain unalienable rights according to the Constitution, you can make your voice a little bit louder. But so let's go right to the First Amendment. And there's 5 sections to this, and we'll touch on each 5 of them tonight for sure. So the first is freedom of speech. So I'm going to go right to Travis and let him analyze the First Amendment freedom of speech and what he believes that is and what that all entails. So, Travis, back to you, my friend. you got to get used to the muting and unmuting of the phone. this is our first episode together, and I know exactly where what he's going through right now. But it's all right, man. Don't worry about it. We'll get that bug worked out later. But go ahead, brother.
All right, now I'm gonna go ahead and read that the First Amendment. It says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people to peacefully assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. And what Jeremy said, we're talking about freedom of speech. And that's basically just, it's exactly what it says. The government is not allowed to tell you what you can and you cannot say. I think we run into that quite a bit now, and I think where a lot of people make a mistake with this is when they look. Government. It has nothing to restrict each other. So please understand, I mean, if somebody else is, if there's a platform saying we're not going to allow this type of speech, not a violation of the Constitution because they're not the government. There is no law prohibiting what you could say. That particular platform may limit what you could say, which we could say goes against the spirit of the First Amendment. But the restrictions set forth in the Constitution restrict government and government alone. It don't restrict us against each other. And I think that's one of the things that we miss a lot of times when we complain about this platform for restricting our speech or that platform. Well, yeah, it's probably may not be the best thing to do, but they are actually within their rights to do so because the Constitution limits laws being written against us exercising our speeches. It has nothing to do with who agrees to carry your speech, if that makes any sense.
Unless, though, of course. Okay, so I've been banned on Facebook when I was involved with the People's Convoy, and my account got torn apart, gone. It was just gone. But then the Twitter files came out after Elon Musk bought it, and they found out that the government was influencing people getting banned, mainly conservative voices, off of the Twitter platform. Now, I have zero facts that state that was happening with Facebook, too. But you can almost best believe that if it was happening with Twitter, it was more than likely happening with Facebook. Now, if the government gets involved and are influencing you to be silenced, then you have a problem. Now, the platform itself, if that's their code or their rules, they have every right to do that. Unfortunately, it sucks. But, again, if the government gets involved and are influencing other people to silence you, they have zero right to be doing that. They have absolutely no right to be involved in silencing voices. Would you agree with me on that, Bull?
Oh, 100%. I mean, and that's why it's so important that we have transparency in our government. And it goes, and that goes on a little bit more with when we start talking about freedom of the press and so forth, because these, to an extent, the press is who we're counting on to keep an eye on the government to prevent them from doing these end arounds, like you were just mentioning, where the government will lean on a company, or a company they'll only allow financial aid to go to companies who agree to these policies or procedures on restrictions of things. It doesn't go against the actual letters of saying it's a law, but it is by their actions.
Yeah. But before we continue on, I want to move on to the next part of the First Amendment. But where can people find you at, Bull, on social media? We'll give them a little dinger here, and then we'll do another part, and you can give them another site, and you'll go through, you know, do your Twitter now, and then we'll do your Facebook and then your website and all that good stuff, or however you want to do it, I guess. Mute button, buddy.
God. All right, let's try this again. We're going to start off on Twitter. I can be found on Twitter at Travis Bull John 1. T-R-A-V-I-S-B-U-L-L-J-O-H-N, the number 1. And, hey, if y'all can go on there and follow, I'd appreciate it. I am 3 followers short of 1,000. So if we can hit that number by the end of the night, I would really be appreciative.
Yes, and that's what we need to do, ladies and gentlemen, is follow the freedom fighters, the people that are trying to stand up to save this Constitution. This document has lasted as long as it has. I would really, really like to see that last another 250 years so everybody can enjoy the same freedoms that we did or have. As it's getting torn apart from us. So let's move on to the second part of the First Amendment. So we just discussed the freedom of speech. Let's move on to the freedom of the press and what that entails. What does that mean? And what you're seeing today, how that affects society. I want to explain something after Travis gets done with his explanation of what the freedom of press means involving the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act. But I want to go to DeBull first and let him give his analyzation of what freedom of the press really means.
Well, I think our freedom of the press has gotten diluted very much over the last 200 years. Not necessarily as what's allowed and what's not allowed, but by the numbers of practitioners of the press. When this country first got started, you had all kind of individual, independent press locations all over this country. Every city, every town, they had their own press corps, their own reporters, their own newspapers. And so you had a lot of different eyes who were kind of keeping an eye on everything and reporting. Well, with consolidation over the last 20 or 30 years, you have a lot less people out there, a lot less diverse organizations out there who are actually out there keeping an eye on the government and reporting what they do. And when they do, it's not as much reporting news anymore. It's reporting their narrative or twisting it. I mean, it's almost like we don't have news services anymore or press services anymore as we have propagandists. But as far as with the Constitution, it basically states that the government is not allowed to restrict the press and what is said and what is the press puts out as far as reporting on government and so forth. I mean, and that is very important. And I think a lot of times this is violated by the government doing it in the round. You look at people like Edward Snowden or Julian Assange, who is still being prosecuted for pushing out what was basically news of the government, of the U.S. government failing to follow their own laws, and they're being punished for it because what they reported on was classified. Well, yeah, of course it was classified. It was classified because you were doing something you weren't supposed to be doing. That's the exact thing that freedom of the press and the First Amendment is meant to protect. And the fact that we have had administration after administration come in and nobody has made any effort to free these political prisoners, and that's what I'm going to call them, is political prisoners, makes me understand that neither party really does honor the Constitution. It's just a matter of how it benefits them.
That goes back to what I was saying prior to Bull's explanation here. If people want to look this up, I'll put it in the chat too so you know how to spell it. I want you to go back and look up the original Smith-Mundt, M-U-N-D-T, the Smith-Mundt Act. They put that into place, in the early 40s, shortly after the, I think it actually was still during the World War II. But that was to prevent propaganda being spread through your mainstream media sources by your government, basically state-issued propaganda. In 2011 or 12, under Obama, they come up with what they called the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act, which basically they rewrote it and essentially made it legal for the government to put propaganda through your mainstream media. And what people need to understand is they inserted that into the Defense Act. And the Defense Act was one of the most bipartisan bills that has been passed legislatively wise. But this is what they do in our government now, is they come up with these tag-ons or these little bills that they slip into these bigger bills that they know we're going to pass. And that's why you see a lot of your freedoms being stripped from you. When you realize how corrupt that is and how it's just dirty. But I want you to look that up, the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act, and what that entails and what that really means for you when you're watching mainstream media. I know myself, I haven't watched mainstream media for almost 3 years. I think I watched it for 2 minutes one night, and I found myself screaming at the TV, so I quit watching it. They're a bunch of liars. But I don't want to get into that too much. But I just wanted you to be aware of the Smith-Mundt Act and research that a little bit. Well, we'll do this. As we're going through this, I want you guys, we're going to give you information, stuff to go research, things that have happened in the past, bills, all that good stuff. So you're well informed of what the Constitution means, what it is, and what has happened throughout, especially the last 3 decades, the attack that we've seen on our Constitution. And it's been going on long before that, because people are power hungry and they want to stay in control. But that's neither here nor there. So that's the freedom of the press. The press has the freedom to speak out, to speak up. That goes right along with your freedom of speech.
I think they now have a responsibility
go ahead.
As well. I think they have a responsibility
I'm sorry, go ahead.
To speak up.
Yeah. Just so you all know, too, we have like a second or two delay on here. So if it sounds like we're trying to overtalk each other, we're not. It's just the way the system is set up here. It sucks, but we deal with it. We'll get through it. But I want to move on to the freedom of religion, because this one is a controversial one. People, you know, there's a lot of people that scream the Constitution, but when it doesn't fit their narrative or their belief system, then they have a problem with it. Well, if you're going to truly be neutral and believe in the Constitution, you have to accept all sides. And this one is going to be a little bit more controversial, just because, you know, after 9/11, we had the whole Muslim thing, and they wanted to ban Muslims. And, you know, the Dearborn, Michigan, I think, has a real, very large Muslim population. And that became a very controversial subject. But I want, again, we're going to go right to Bull and let him give his what he believes that freedom of speech or, I'm sorry, freedom of religion what that entails as in the Constitution and what that means for you and I. So go ahead, Bull, and I will mute my phone again.
Well, I mean, this is actually the one I really wanted to make sure I've read straight from the Constitution for. Because, again, we talk about freedom of religion, and there is no actual it doesn't say freedom of or freedom from or religion of anything like that in the Constitution. What it just states is that we'll make no law respecting of religion or prohibiting free exercise thereof. Basically, it means when it comes to religion, the government can't pick a side. They've got to stay out of it. Now, and I've heard different arguments or different phrases on this where people talk about, well, freedom of religion also means freedom from religion. And I tend to agree with that mindset that, I mean, because not everybody are believers, okay? And we have to acknowledge that. And if they don't believe as you do, they have that doesn't mean they have any less rights to their beliefs than you do. And we have to honor that. And there was a recent ruling in Minneapolis that I disagreed with, based off of the First Amendment, and basically, it was allowing the mosques to blow their call to prayer, the offering, I believe it's called, whenever at various times of day when it was time for their call to prayer. Now, this often happens at dusk or at daylight. Well, as most of you know, at dusk in Minnesota in the middle of summer, it'd be 10:30, 10:45 at night. when it finally gets to the part where it's actually dark. And it gave them permissions to blare from the speakers this call to prayer. And I had a little bit of a heartburn with that because it was specifically to allow them to do that. So to me, that was basically them endorsing that religion, because that religion was the only one who had that exemption, so to speak. I mean, nobody else asked for it. They were the only ones who asked for it. But the fact that you gave them an exemption based on their religion, when you had a quiet time for everybody else at 10 o'clock, to me was a blatant violation of the First Amendment, because nobody else has that freedom to make noise at 10:30, but they do because of their religion. That I have a little bit of an issue with, and that's where I say when we talk about freedom of religion, we have to say it's also freedom from religion. The people who don't practice that religion shouldn't be subject to calls at 10:30. Loudspeaker calls at 10:30 at night, calling that religion to prayer when nobody else is allowed to make that kind of music or sound at that time. So I mean that's what it means to me is. Go ahead.
Go ahead. I'll let you finish your thoughts on that, Bull, before I get into mine.
So we have to acknowledge this. I mean, when the forefathers made the Constitution, they chose specifically to add this, that basically we cannot determine a official religion for the country. It's open for everybody, for anything. So they made a conscious decision not to state that Christianity, for an example, was the religion of the country. They made a conscious decision to say, no, there is no religion or belief. And the fact that they did that specifically tells me that they didn't want to have any favoritism towards any one particular religion that's out there.
Now, when Bull says that you have the freedom from religion also, we recently got into on the Disrespected Trucker radio show on Thursday nights, we recently got into a very controversial subject. It's called the After School Satanic Club, where they go into these schools, pretty self-explanatory. Your kids are free to go if they so choose, if the parents so choose, well, however that works. And that's where they got me on this subject of freedom of religion. When you look at it, as much as I disagree and hate that, I think that is absolutely horrible that they allow that to happen. But if you really truly believe in the Constitution, the bottom line is you have the freedom to attend. But then it crosses a line of separation of state. You know, do we allow that kind of? That would be like having an after-school Catholic club at the school, or an after-school Muslim club at the school. Are we doing that now too? You know, so this all becomes very controversial, and I don't want to sit here and say yes or no on the subject. I'm just explaining the fact that if we're truly about freedom of religion or freedom from religion, don't we have to accept all sides, Bull, on that? Or what's your thoughts on that after-school satanic club?
Well, exactly. And I think that's why you got to be careful when you open the door, because you don't know who's going to walk through. So if you say, you know what, we are going to have a after-school club for Christian boys, raise them up to be Christian men. Well, as soon as you allow that on government property, you now have to allow it to any type of religion who asks for the same thing, because otherwise you're preferencing one or the other. I would just assume they didn't do any of it on school property or government property, and then we don't have to deal with that. They can arrange their own locations to have these type of clubs and these meetings. I mean, because again, once you say yes to one, you have to say yes to all of them, and that just gets messy. I personally don't want to have to deal with the mess.
That's where it gets complicated and it gets very controversial. And Bull's right. If you allow one, you got to allow all of them, whether you agree with it or not. So it would be a lot easier to say on school property. No, that is not going to happen. Everybody says we got to bring God back in school. As much as I agree with bringing God, and because I'm a Christian man, again, the Constitution, it states freedom of religion. And you have to remember, again, that slippery slope. If you allow that, you have to allow the opposite side. And you're not going to like that, obviously.
And that keeps on going to the point you're making, that it's not up to schools to raise our kids. If parents want their kids raised in a certain fashion, a Christian fashion, that's up to them. It's not up to the schools to facilitate it.
Right. And that's why you have Catholic schools, you have Lutheran schools, and you have private schools. And, you know, I know the argument comes out, well, I can't afford those private schools. I get that. It sucks. I don't even know what the solution is to that. But the bottom line is, again, bull hit the nail on the head. If you allow one to come in, you have to allow all of them, even if you don't like it. That's called freedom. And sometimes freedom sucks. But if at the end of the day, if you look at it, this country was one of the greatest countries ever on the face of this earth. It still is. It just needs a lot of overhauling. That's all. So, Bull, before we get to – oh, we got one caller here. Let me bring him on here. 8978. How you doing, my friend?
What's going on, guys?
You're on the air. Not much.
Awesome. Hey, I just wanted to comment on that freedom of religion thing about the whole 10:30 at night deal. You also have to keep in mind, and I'm absolutely in the same thought process you are, but the federal government is what the Constitution is supposed to be. I mean, it's supposed to be a federal thing. And I guess the states have the right to take federal laws and stricken them, but they can't loosen them, from my understanding. So in the Constitution, there's actually not a time limit on practicing your religion. That's a state law, of ordinance, noise ordinance probably. So is it the federal government or is it the state that's in violation?
Well, in that particular case, it was actually a local ordinance.
Yeah.
So it wasn't even federal or state. Now, I'm sure we're going to discuss this a little bit later when we go through the rest of the amendments. But the 14th Amendment actually said that states had to follow the Constitution as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
so
where
we deal with this back home.
A lot of the gray area.
So we deal with this back home. And it's my right to conduct myself in a manner to the law. So if I want to drink beer, I should be able to drink beer. If I want to be able to sell beer as a private sector business, I should be able to sell beer. So where I live at, the next town, the town I grew up in, actually has a 1,200 foot rule that you can't sell beer 1,200 feet from a church. Well, there's churches everywhere. And that's to me, that violates my freedom of religion because it's based on religion on Sunday.
Yep.
It doesn't apply to the Saturday Seventh-day Adventist. And also, they quit selling beer beer on Sundays and the church, the distance from a church, two clear violations.
Yep.
In my opinion, I would argue they were clear violations of the First Amendment.
I'd be right there with you on it. I mean, I agree completely. I'm one of these guys. I believe that any law that does not have a victim should not be a law.
Well, if they don't have a victim, then they should call them violations, not laws. Because, like, speeding is against the law, but there's no victim. And that's actually a violation, not a law infringement. So I totally get you. But I just wanted to put my two cents in there because I heard y'all talking. So.
Oh,
I agree. Cause I'm from Louisiana originally, And there, I mean, it's the same way. It was Sundays. You had your blue laws. Nothing was open on Sundays forever. I mean, it was all based on religion.
Also, Bull, I wanted to congratulate you for bumping 1,000. You're at 1,003 followers.
Well, thanks. I appreciate
it. Hey, that's awesome. That's awesome. I'm glad to hear that too. Good. We need to get Bull up there so he can start using that platform, all of his platforms. He's got a really good team around him, and I've met his, you know, his people, and I stood with him up at the St. Paul Capitol. What was that event called for the National Guard troops?
Yeah, the Defend the Guard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Defend the Guard. Yeah, no, I want the audience to hear that, you know, that this guy's he's a fighter, man. His campaigning, holy Lord almighty, that guy was – he put more miles on than a semi-driver. But thanks to the call, my friend, and I'm gonna move on with our next
go ahead.
Part of the First Amendment.
I just didn't listen for a little
and,
bit.
All right, thanks, brother. All right. Before we move on, there's two more parts I want to get to tonight. And again, if you're listening online and you want to call in and join the conversation just like our last caller, you're welcome to. And that guest call-in number, grab your pen and your paper and write down this phone number. This will be the same phone number every single week. It's the same process. If you listen on Tuesday nights or Thursday nights, no matter what night, you just got to dial this guest call-in number, 516-387-1733. And again, when you get through and you can hear the radio show, us talking on the radio show, that's your cue to press the number one if you want to get on live on air. That gives me a signal on my switchboard that states that, hey, I got something to say. We'll bring you on as long as you're respectful and decent, and you don't have to agree with us. We can disagree and have a civil conversation discussion. But that phone number again is 516-387-1733, and don't forget to press the number one once you get through. Okay, so we got your Twitter account up, buddy. Now let's go to another account that you have, and I punch this in as you're telling what your account is on our chat. But what do you want to go to? Your Facebook or your website or?
Let's go on to the party website.
Go to the
now,
website.
Okay. For those of you who are not aware, we just recently started a new political party. Right now we're based in Minnesota, but we're going to spread it all across the nation. And it's the Constitutional Republic Party. And you can find that at constitutionalrepublicparty.us. And basically, it's a party that's about getting back to our roots, getting back to the Constitution and what it means, and basically stating that if it's not in the Constitution, it's not the responsibility of the federal government. And so, hey, appreciate y'all coming out there, and because right now, especially here in Minnesota, they're doing everything they can to shut up third parties and those who are not part of the Democrat or the Republican houses, so to speak, here. So the more support we can get on there, the better. The more views we have, the more traffic. Let people know that, hey, you know what, we are for real out there.
And let's – people need to remember, too, in today's political realm – it takes money. It takes money to run a campaign, and that's how we're in the shape we're in. You got these mega donors that go into the Democrat or the Republican Party, and they throw billions of dollars into this election cycles to get their candidate elected. And the Constitutional Republic Party is a grassroots organization chaired by none other than Travis Bull Johnson, who you're listening to right now. So you can go to the constitutionalrepublicparty.us and look up that website. And if that's something that you're interested in supporting, by all means, if you got a dollar, help out. If you got five or 100 or 1,000, please. I support these guys 1,000%. We need to get our government back into control here, and it's going to take a lot of effort. But I do believe that we can. I think we can get it done. It's just going to take some time. Again, that's the it's constitutionalrepublicparty.us. You can go follow that website. So let's move on to, and this one, I like this one because this is another controversial one also, but I've been involved with this one. I've practiced my First Amendment religiously.
Yep. So you should take the lead on this one.
What's that?
I think you should take the lead on this one because you have that firsthand experience with it.
Well, I mean, well, you do too. I stood with you up at the Capitol in St. Paul. We were both practicing our First Amendment rights then, you know, for stand the guard. So, I mean, no, this is a good conversation. I think everybody needs to hear this, and yeah, we'll get right into it. It's called the freedom of assembly, and it guarantees your right to peacefully, and let me put that in there, keyword peacefully, assemble. When I said I've been heavily involved in exercising my First Amendment rights, I've been heavily involved. I've done numerous slow roll protests, and for those of you that don't know what that is, it's when you get a group of trucks together and you get single file and you leave space between you so people, cars can exit and enter on the highway. You go just a hair above the minimum speed limit so you're not breaking any laws, and you put signs on the back of your truck, and some of the – my longest slow roll was South Dakota. We went around Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and all the way to Pierre, South Dakota, to the Capitol. I think it was like almost 300 miles. I mean, it was a long one. And we did like 55 miles an hour all the way out there. I mean, I was like, holy Lord, this is long. But we did it. But I've done numerous events like that, slow rolls, Minnesota State Capitol, Indiana State Capitol, South Dakota State Capitol. I did one up to Pembina, North Dakota to support the Freedom Convoy in Canada last January or at the end of January. I also did one down in Joplin, Missouri. We went to Washington, D.C. This is the big one for me in 2020. We had over 200 trucks at any given time that were literally staged on Constitution Avenue on the south lawn of the White House on both sides of the road on each side of the street for blocks. And we stayed there for three straight weeks. We estimated within that three straight weeks, a couple thousand trucks probably coming in and out. We never once got violent. And there were no arrests at any event that I have been involved with. There has never been any violence or any arrests. That, ladies and gentlemen, is called exercising your freedom of assembly. It's when you peacefully make your grievances heard with your government within the laws. And I wanted to make sure that I explain that to the audience, because we've seen... not too long after we left Constitution Avenue in 2020, roughly a week. We left on the 21st, and in Memorial Day weekend is when the George Floyd incident happened. And you've seen all hell break loose. You've seen graffiti being sprayed, statues torn down, violence ensued, people getting shot, murdered, burnt, arson. I mean, you've seen it all. That was not exercising your First Amendment right. That's called rioting, and that is an arrestable offense. And I don't want to get into the Democrat-Republican division tactics here, because I want to keep it more strictly on what the Constitution states and what your rights are. But compared to what we did, compared to what they did after that, you know, with the whole protesting, the George Floyd stuff, that was unruly and unlawful. When they're walking down interstates and blocking traffic, that's not peacefully assembly. That's actually blocking people's right to move freely. I don't support that. Never have, never will. You are allowed to assemble, and you are allowed to chant and get your voice heard. but you're not allowed to stop other people from moving freely. You're not allowed to break laws while you're trying to get your voice heard. That's my definition of and meaning of the freedom of assembly. I'm going to go to Bull on this one because me and Bull stood at, like, again, at the St. Paul Capitol for Stand the Guard. And, again, they had speakers up there. They had the proper permits. And people spoke, and we stood up there, and we listened to the people speak. Jesse Ventura showed up. It was a very calm and cool event of getting your voice heard and standing up for a cause. So with that, I'll yield my time over to Bull and let him go through what he believes the freedom of assembly is.
I mean, I think you hit it right on the head, Jeremy. I mean, it's just there are times where you have to get let your voice be heard and force them to hear it. And sometimes the only way to do that is do protests like that at the Capitol. Be where they're at, I mean, outside their offices. Because otherwise, especially these Congress people, they're only hearing what their donors are telling them unless we force them to hear what we have to say. Now, I also think it's very important to acknowledge that when we do peacefully protest and we're ignored, and what we're protesting is just continuously swept under the rug, that's when you start to get to the point where people start rioting. Is when they refuse to start listening to your voices, to the peaceful protests. Because at that point, it's like, okay, we're doing this peacefully, you're not listening, I'm going to make you listen. And I think that's what happens on sometimes. At the same time, we have to realize when we are peacefully protesting, there are going to be people there who don't agree with us, who are going to try to force us to not be peaceful. Because it puts a stain on what we're protesting for. And that's some of that situational awareness that we have to have. But, yes, that right to get out there and protest our government, let them know, hey, we don't agree with what you're doing. It's vital. And I tell you what, I wish we had more people who were interested this past week on what our government was doing that would have been out there at our state capitol in Minnesota this week, because it was just a ramrod of bills just getting shoved through that were not to the benefit of all the people in Minnesota as much as it was a section, but they went so quickly, it went too fast for organizations to be able to effectively protest what was going on. And that's exactly what they intended on doing, is they threw a lot of things in at the last moment, knowing that the public wouldn't have time to react. And, When that kind of stuff happens, we need to make sure our voices are heard.
Now, and that's – I didn't really get into this part of my life until within the last 5 years. And, again, I said earlier in the show, the first time I ever participated in a slow roll, I wasn't the organizer. I was just a participant, and it was in Minnesota to the state capitol. And I'm going to tell you something. I was scared to death. I was very intimidated because I didn't know my rights. I didn't realize that I'm not doing anything wrong. And when we pulled up to the Capitol to get off on the exit, there was a highway patrol sitting there, and they were watching us. They were watching us. But when we got off the exit, the highway patrol rolled down his window and gave us the thumbs up. And that's when I knew, okay, I'm not doing anything wrong here. I'm just airing out my grievances with the FMCSA at the time and the trucking industry. Most of my protesting, some that I've organized and some I've been involved with, have involved the trucking industry and rules, laws, and regulations that they keep shoving down this industry's throat. But when the COVID-19 came out, and mandates started happening, my effort and my involvement kind of switched gears. When they started mandating, hospitals started mandating nurses and healthcare workers that they had to get this shot or they lose their jobs. Now you're telling somebody that you need to take an unproven medication or in this case a vaccine that has not had long-term studies done on it, that if they don't take what you're telling them to take without any telling them what those possible side effects are, informed consent, you're going to tell them that they're going to lose their jobs. And I was not okay with that. And restricting people's movement, making you do this and jump through hoops. And I this isn't freedom. This is a tyrannical government forcing their thoughts and their agenda down your throats with just going completely against the Constitution. And then as I started doing a little bit of research through that, I realized that the Emergency Orders Act, the Emergencies Act that they had put into place, basically allowed our government to circumvent the Constitution in the name of a health emergency. And I'm not going to get into the whole, all of that. I'm just saying that you have to be aware that there's certain things that they will do in order to push their agenda or their narrative a little bit long, you know, further along, or make you do things that wouldn't necessarily be protected by the Constitution. And that, in my opinion, was one of them. But again, I don't want to get too deep into that just because it's not about that. It's about the Constitution and what your rights are. So we've had a nice conversation tonight, Travis. I mean, we're going through the First Amendment and what it entails, and we've given out our thoughts and our opinions, and I like where the conversation's going. We have one more subject or part of the First Amendment that we want to get to tonight yet. I just wanted everybody to know that when we talked about doing this and decided to do it, we don't really have a time. I set it up for 3 hours, the program, but more than likely we're just going to go through, you know, maybe an hour, hour and a half. We're going to get through them. If we have callers, we'll take callers. We'll have conversation. If it goes to an hour and a half, great. If it only goes to an hour, that's great too. If it goes 3 hours, not that Travis wants to do that, but if it did, we have that a lot of time. So again, if you're listening over the internet, the guest call-in number is 516-387-1733. Press the number 1 once you get through, and that'll let us know that you want to get on and add something to the conversation. So where, Travis, before we get to the last part of this, where can people find you on Facebook?
On Facebook, there's a couple of ways to be able to get a hold of me. The first of which is the same thing we spoke about earlier, the Constitutional Republic Party. We've got a page on there. But more is my homestead and politics page, which is Travis Bull Johnson, Homestead and Politics. This page is basically centered around what it says is our homestead that we have up here in Minnesota. You see a lot of farming pictures, a lot of animal pictures. We talk about some of the challenges of homesteading or trying to run small businesses in itself in Minnesota, as well as the politics side. So it's I think sometimes we just get so caught up in one side or the other. It's nice better go on there and say, you know what, today I'm talking about my damn goats. Screw the government. And if that's kind of what your mindset is of being able to get a little bit of government, a little bit of homesteading, a little bit of animals, that's the place to find me. It's Travis Bull Johnson, Homestead and Politics on Facebook.
That's Travis Bull Johnson, Homestead and Politics on Facebook. So between his Facebook, now we got his Twitter account up over 1,000, which is good news. I'm glad to hear that. I guess the best place to like look at what you're about is constitutionalrepublicparty.us. Would you agree with me on that? Or
yes, that we're going to talk a lot more about our politics and about the party and what we're trying to accomplish. We are again a party that's less than 4 months old. I mean, so we're still in our crawling stages, but we're already growing very quickly. We already have multiple affiliates in Minnesota, and we're looking to have affiliates, which is basically parties within our party in other states as well. So if you're interested in getting involved in that aspect with us, shoot us a message, please.
Yeah, we need volunteers. The party needs volunteers. It's when you build something from the ground floor, like, okay, so I can give you an example. my TikTok account, my Twitter account, my Facebook account, any account, it's similar to your social media. When you start at the ground floor with zero followers, you got to work at that. You got to build that to what it is. And it helps that you get certain people that follow you, that are friends of yours, you know, to put out a good word for you. And that, oh, I mean, that has helped me immensely. And the gentleman that knows, you know, who I'm talking about, he knows that. He knows I appreciate him. But that's what it's going to take is this constitutionalrepublicparty.us. You go on there and look at what they stand for and look at how can you get involved. Everybody says, well, I don't know what to do. Well, what can I do? Here it is. Get involved, however much that could be. If it's, yeah, it doesn't matter. Just get involved. That's the only way we're going to change, get this country back on track is by getting involved.
When people give us,
so I want to
what
move,
choice do we have?
Oh, go ahead.
We're trying to give you a choice.
Right. Yeah, and listen, I get a lot of people are diehard Democrats, and I see a lot of people that are diehard conservative Republicans. That's okay. You can be whoever or whatever you want. That's called freedom. But educate yourself on all parties rather than, you know, I'm this guy over here. Here's the surprising thing, ladies and gentlemen. I used to be a very, very liberal Democrat. And I went through the process of standing up and understanding the Constitution. I am now no party affiliated. I'm a constitutionalist. I'm a freedom fighter. I'm a patriot, whatever you want to call me. I don't believe in the two-party system any longer. I think the two-party system is what is getting our country in the shape it is. But that's just my opinion and my thoughts. You don't have to agree with that. Let's go to the last part of the First Amendment for tonight anyway. Doesn't mean that we'll never come back and touch base or touch on this again, because we're going to be able to have a lot of shows to touch on a lot, you know, all the amendments and what that all entails, and have conversations that may be uncomfortable about every one of them. I know the Second Amendment is going to be very controversial, and maybe not on here, because I don't tend to get a lot of listeners from the left side of the aisle, which is that's their right. They don't have to listen to me. But the last part of the First Amendment, ladies and gentlemen, tonight that we're going to discuss is called the right to petition the government. The right to petition the government. And so I'm going to go right over to Bull on that and let him get right into what that entails and what does that mean to him.
This is probably one that people have the most confusion over. And basically, what is our right to petition the government for redress? It's basically our ability, it's either A, our ability to be able to challenge our government, to change our government, but more than that, it's about the opportunity to be able to sue our government for redress for wrongs. So, say the government passes a law that's going to require you to not be able to utilize part of your property for some reason. You have the right to sue the government to get damages for that change in what they've done. It also allows us to petition the government for a change, say a recall. If we don't like our representative, we have a right to recall that representative. That's what's involved in our ability to petition the government. There are some other things on there that I would like to say is involved, but I'm not sure enough on it, to be honest with you. It's one of the problems I have in Minnesota. You cannot do a ballot question. Put a question on the ballot to see what people believe in, whether we should legalize this or legalize that. You're not allowed to do that in Minnesota, and to me, that should be covered under our ability to petition the government.
That goes a lot deeper than what we are talking about right now. And we will, like I said, as time goes on, we're going to get back to a lot of this and have deeper discussions by no means are me and Bull experts on the Constitution, by no means at all. all we're doing with this radio show is to read through the Constitution, give our thoughts on it, what that means, and have those difficult discussions of what all that stuff means. Tonight, this is our first episode, so we're fresh at this, and we're getting used to how we want to see this conversation go. And as time goes on, we'll get more listeners and we'll get more callers, and we'll get in more in depth with certain aspects of the Constitution, every single amendment and the subsections and all that stuff, because there's so much to cover, which is why I thought, you know, the best way to do this is do a radio show, because then we can cover, you know, certain subjects every week. We can do one subject and have an in-depth conversation about it and see where it goes. And I would really like to see everybody get involved with the conversation, get involved with the explanation, share your opinions, your thoughts, call in live. If you don't like to call in live, we have a live chat. You don't have to, you know, your name doesn't have to be used. I get that people don't want to put themselves out there, because we see what happens when you do that. The federal government gets, they've got lawyers and they've got money, and I don't have either one. So we have to be, you know, sometimes you got to be aware of, you know, how deep you get involved. Back to the freedom of assembly. I was one of the co-organizers of the People's Convoy that started out in California, went all the way to Hagerstown, Maryland, and lasted for 70 or 80 some days. Had millions of dollars donated to an account out there, helping the guys that were the main organizers after I left. The federal government did not like that at all. They did not like that. And then they never will when you stand up against what their policies are. They will try to intimidate you. But that's wrong. We had every right to stand up peacefully and do what we did. And again, no arrests, no violence. So that's the important thing you need to remember about the First Amendment. You have the right to freedom of speech, but you don't have the right to threaten somebody. You have the right to freedom of press, which means you have the right, well, unless you're Edward Snowden or Julian Assange, you have the right to report on what is happening. But you're not allowed to slander people. There's a fine line with all of this. Freedom of religion or the freedom of not having a religion, like Bull said earlier. Just a little recap of what we're, you know, talking about tonight. You have the freedom, but you have to be careful which doors you open. Think about once you open one door, how many people are going to come through that door? Is it going to be people that you want coming through that door? So you have to be very careful on how you go about things. Freedom of assembly, we've talked about that pretty in depth. And then the right to petition the government. I think that we'll probably come back to that one at a later date when we research that a little bit more and understand that a little bit better, so you're better versed on it also. So with that, I think tonight's show went well. Bull, what do you think? I think that was I think that was decent for our first show.
I think it was great. I really appreciate everybody. I want to go ahead and call out on Twitter, Keep On Trumping. They were my 1,000th follower, so I appreciate it. So I wanted to give you a quick shout out. Very much appreciate it. And, yeah, I think the show went pretty well. I mean, we'd love to have some audience participation. Talk to us. I mean, I'm the first one to say I'm not perfect. I mean, I love to hear other people's opinions and feedback and have some back and forth discussion on a lot of these things, because I don't believe in living in an echo chamber. And I'd like to hear what other people have to say, and I think probably in the next few weeks we're going to get that. I think it's very important, though, when we talk about our rights, we also acknowledge our responsibilities. With these rights come a responsibility to exercise them in good – I'm not going to say in good taste, but to do right by them. We're given this responsibility – Let's treat it with respect, and let's be respectful in how we handle it.
No, and I agree with that. You know, we you know, to reiterate that peacefully assembly, your responsibility is to be peaceful about it. And Bull touched on that too. You know, when you are peaceful about it and you do it over and over and over again and nobody seems to want to listen to you, that's when people get frustrated and violence breaks up. But there's one thing I learned, like, through the Freedom Convoy up in Canada. They preached over and over and over, remain peaceful. And they did. And you've seen what happened up in Canada. They were peaceful. Hell, they had bouncy castles for their kids, and they were feeding the homeless, and they were just really, and I get that's Canada, it's not America, but they really led by an example, in my opinion. I'm friends with a lot of them that organize it, by the way, up there. They're great people, and they got persecuted by their government, in my opinion. But they showed you how to peacefully assemble. And I know there's arguments on that, both sides of that aisle, too, and we welcome that, those calls. I just want to make sure, before we go, please share us out. We will be on every Tuesday night at 6 p.m. Central Time. I have the show slotted for 3 hours. If we go to that 3 hours, that's fine. That's great. If it only takes us an hour to get through what our agenda is for the night, then like tonight, it's just going to be a little bit over an hour, and that's okay too. I mean, we're both busy people, and we're doing this because we need to. I wanted to help Bull out with the Constitutional Republic Party in Minnesota because I believe in him. I've met him. I've hung out with him numerous times, talked to him on the phone. He's a good dude, and he's got great people behind him. And I believe that if we work together and get involved, we can build the Constitutional Republic Party up in Minnesota and hopefully start getting it where people are interested enough in other states where it builds into a national party where we can fight back against the institution, the institutionalized Democratic and Republic Party, where the Republican Party, where they can have convinced the people that you have two choices when you go to election to the booth to cast your vote, and it's simply not true, and they do some pretty shady things in the background that we will talk about here, involving elections and how to silence people's voices and certain, you know, gerrymandering, and there's a whole bunch of stuff we can get into, and we will. We'll get into a lot of stuff. So on that note, Travis, if you have anything else you'd like to add before we sign off for the night?
No, I just like to thank everybody for tuning in, and please come out and see us again next week. And if you have any questions or anything of me, meanwhile, feel free to shoot me a message either on Twitter or Facebook, or shoot me an email through the Constitutional Republic Party.us, and we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, so again, that's Constitutional Republic Party.us, or that's his website. Otherwise, you can go to Travis Bull, BullJohn1 on Twitter, or Travis Bull Johnson Homestead and Politics on Facebook. And trust me, I've watched people walk up to Bull at events, and he's not scared to have a conversation with you, and he's not scared when you disagree with him to have just sit and have a civil discussion with you. He's not an angry man. He doesn't get upset. He doesn't yell and scream. He sits there and listens with a voice of reason. He does way better than what I can. So I can attest to the fact that Mr. Johnson is the real deal. And by the way, we were not related in any way. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to the first episode of the Constitutionalist. Obviously, next week we'll tackle the Second Amendment. And again, that's probably going to be controversial. People have their thoughts on that. We all have our own thoughts on it. But yeah, so that's where we'll go next week. And I hope you all have a great night. Thank you to Constitutional Republic Party of Minnesota, Travis Bull Johnson, for being a host on the radio show with me and on the Constitutionalist. And we'll see you guys all next Tuesday at 6 p.m. Central Time. Have a great week, and God bless each and every one of you.